bless Holly. I know you'll start with prayer. So I'll let you go back to you. Oh, thank you.
I'm so happy to see y'all.
Yes.
I mean, rainy day, traffic, anyone. Okay, so go ahead and bless the person on your left and the person on your right. Blessings on us. Blessings on me. I'm so proud of you.
It's so, I know so many of you get Robbie Zacharias' newsletter, but it's so interesting that just recently they did an article on blessings and how offering blessings is a holy work. And that in the Old Testament, we know well, God gave Moses in Leviticus, he said, I want you to give this prayer so that my priests, my Levites, will know how to bless the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. I mean, we know those words and we love those words. But when Jesus was on the planet, he said, he sent him out in twos, and he said, when you enter a house, offer it a blessing. When you enter Nordstrom's, offer it a blessing. When you enter the grocery store, when you enter your neighbor's house, because that's power. And you never know what God's going to do. And it makes you aware of his presence in such a sweet way. So let's open in prayer. I'm so happy to see you. Oh, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. You love to come where you've been welcomed, and we welcome you here, Lord Jesus. And Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, truth divine, dawn upon this soul of mine. Word of God and inward light, wake my spirit and clear my sight. Holy Spirit, love divine, glow within this heart of mine. Kindle every high desire and banish my pride in your sweet fire. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you know, and I mean, some of you don't have a piece of paper. Just grab one from your friends or whatever you need to do. But you know, you have to take notes. Because I know, being the ADD person I am, that if I don't write it down, I'll forget it. And there might be one thing, there might be 10 things, but I don't want you to miss it. So, and you know me, I like acronyms because you tend to remember acronyms and I tend to remember acronyms. So we're going to have fun with our lesson today and the sweet things. The Lord loves to reveal himself, and that makes everything sweet. Okay, I want you just to close your eyes a minute and imagine yourself in 469 AD, and you have this, you know, long dresses on and these weird hats on, and your husband dresses really weird, but he is the king after all, and so you are just trying to be supportive of him. And even though for years and years you worshipped idols and you had a different weird pagan religion and worship different things that you could see, you came to know Jesus. Somebody told you about Jesus Christ, and you so long for your husband to know about Jesus Christ. This is a true story. In 496 AD, the Roman Empire that had reigned supreme for almost 500 years had crumbled, and it had collapsed. And here in Western Europe, which is called Gaul at the time, which included much of France and Belgium and South Netherlands and Switzerland and Northern Italy and part of Germany west of the Rhine, nomadic tribes ruled, and they would band together and fight for different places and territories. Well, in 496, King Clovis was trying to expand his territory against some of the very fierce tribes that were close by, and his wife, Clotheildic. Now, who would name their daughter that? I don't know, but that was her name. And she had been praying for her husband, many times shared her faith with her husband, and just continued to focus on, Lord, bring him to you. Bring him to his knees. Bring him to you, O Lord on high. We're during one of the most fierce battles when he was very afraid that he would lose, that his troops were retreating. King Clovis remembered the prayers of his wife, and he himself prayed. She had already prayed that circumstances would bring him to God. Most mighty God, whom my queen Clotheild worships and adores with all her heart and soul, I pledge my perpetual service to your faith. Please give me now the victory over my enemies. And when he looked up, he saw a marvelous sight. His army, which had been retreating, had turned and begun to fight with supernatural valor and strength. And at the same time, the enemy soldiers, with a spirit of fear, had retreated. Later, after this tremendous victory for King Clovis and his men, he was so overcome by the awe and power that God had given him at this time of crisis. So later that night at the banquet, the air was charged with wonder and excitement because everyone was aware what God had done. So he stood up, and with his wife at his side, these are the words he spoke. And you too can look them up on Google. Lord of the Franks, it seems to me highly profitable that you should know, first of all, that the gods we formerly worshipped are false and powerless. There is only one God and one power over man. Know of a surety that the same God, the one whom our beloved queen embraces, is my God now. It is he who delivered us from the battlefield. It is he who gave us victory, and now the kingdom of the Franks is united. Lift therefore your hearts in just hope and ask the sovereign defender that he give you all that which you desire, that he save your souls and give us victory for our enemies. With one accord, the people embraced Christianity because their king had embraced the God of the universe, the God who sent Christ to rescue us. 3,000 soldiers, led by their king, were baptized as new believers. And guess what happened in 1996? Pope John Paul went to that very place to honor the 50 centuries anniversary of that baptism. So you can read about this man, but what I want you to see is this queen who was a woman of faith, her husband who was a warrior. Now I know in this crowd and people who will be listening, whether you're married or widowed or single or divorced, God loves you and adores you and bless you. And he wants you to know his truth and his words. So when we look about marriage, the powerful weapon that a woman of God has in a marriage is priceless. You can't even take it in. And here we see this very vivid example of a man who's in danger thinks about his wife's faith. Now, what about your husband or your brother or your dear friend? What battles do they have? In our culture, what battles are all around the men? Pornographies all around our men. Just the busyness of the world that would choke them. What is a godly woman to do? What does God's word tell us to do? Well, we're going to focus on God's word, and we're going to focus on marriage, and we're going to focus in our lesson. I've read it several times, and it's so good in our discipleship. But let's think about these things right now. Let's ask the Lord to open our eyes. Write down Psalm 119, 18. It's a scripture that many of you already know. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see wonderful things in your law. Mm-hmm. So right here today, Lord, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law. But we also need our ears open. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Remember sweet Hannah and Samuel and when he's left at the temple and he thinks Eli is calling him. And Eli didn't call him. He said, no, God is calling you. And do you know God's calling you? God's calling me? Whatever season of life, God is calling you. He has something that he wants you to hear. And so what do we need to do? Be still. Yes, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm listening to you, Lord. Open my ears. It's interesting to me when I kept thinking about what were the things that is so attacks our culture, and us as women especially, just the challenge of our schedules, the challenge of the many things that are on our plate. But what does God say? He continually calls out to us. And it's interesting. Even though I knew the scripture, I looked at it in a new way. Proverbs 1. It was so interesting. And I kept thinking, Proverbs 1? As I was looking up different scriptures on listening. How long will you be simple and love your simple ways? You should respond and listen to me, says the Lord. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, you didn't listen when I called. And when no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, Since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, in turn, disaster will come, and those will mock at your calamity when disaster sweeps like a whirlwind. Verse 28, then you will call to me, but now I will not answer, because you did not listen. You hated knowledge, and you did not choose to fear, to revere, to respect the Lord. It's a scary thing when you read it in that light, isn't it? Not to stop and listen to the Lord. And what happens when our kids don't stop and listen to us? No, no, don't run in the street. They don't want you to get hit. I mean, don't we love it when we drive around Washington and McLean and Great Falls where I am? You see all the little tiny flags that are around a yard? What do those little tiny flags mean? They mean somebody has a dog that they love and they don't want it to get run over. And God says, I've given you these laws. I've given you my words so you won't have disaster. So you yourself will not have destruction. And then we think about our hearts. We can see things with our eyes, and we can listen even today with our ears. But unless our heart is transformed, the Lord says in Deuteronomy 5, oh, that they had such a heart in them, such a heart in them, that they would honor and revere me always and obey all my commands. Not a pick and choose, not a multiple choice. That they would obey all my commands, that it might be well with them and their children forever. That's what God says. So we're going to focus on the Lord, and we're going to focus on marriage. And what does focus mean? Okay, right. Go ahead and write focus. That's my acronym, F-O-C-U-S. One of the few words I actually can spell. But thank you. The concentration. Focus means the concentration of attention. The concentration of attention or energy on something or something specific. So to concentrate our attention, you know, we always talk right now about let's be intentional. Let's be intentional about our friendship. Let's be really intentional about what God says today. Let's focus our attention. But what is the very first thing we have to focus our attention on? Thank you, on the Lord. He says, seek me first. You know, isn't it interesting? Because it says right before, which is so Washington, don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. He says, surely the pagans do that. But seek me first, and all these other things will be added unto you. And I love the picture and the image in Scripture that God looks to and fro throughout the whole earth to see whose heart is totally committed to him, that he might show himself strong for them. Now, who wants, Lord, I want you to show yourself strong to me. He's not looking to see what shoes you have on, how are your jeans doing today, how's your wardrobe. He's looking for hearts. He's looking for hearts. And when you become a person who's so full of Christ that you hardly notice somebody's apparel, because God told the prophet Samuel, when he went to go anoint David, he thought surely it was the big brother. He's big, he's strong, it must be him that's going to do my work and be my king. And the Lord said, no, man looks on the outward appearance. But God, I look on the heart. He's still looking for hearts today, ladies, in our crazy culture. He's still looking for hearts who are radical enough to trust him and obey him and see him manifest himself in amazing ways, in amazing ways. He loves to do that. When I thought about focus and focusing on my marriage, and I thought about, as you can imagine, just, I mean, let me have to add this up a little bit really quick. I think we've been married 42 years. I like to say I was 10 when we got married, but I was 19. So I just want you to know, you can do the math. I'm 61, you can do the math, but it's just amazing what God has done. And what he continues to do when I focus on him. When I focus on the Lord and I focus on Jerry. Just think about your husband. And if you have a son, I want you to think about him too. But the Lord says, you know, there's nobody to marry but a sinner. Do you know that? Everybody, could ever say, yeah, you're right, that's all right. There's nobody to marry but a sinner. But inside that body, big or small, is a little boy who had dreams of a great family, who had dreams that somebody would love him, had dreams that somebody would just think he hung the moon. And a lot of times we just have to stop because we're so concerned about what's going on with us. And the Lord says, no, Holly, give it to me. Focus on me and see what I want to do today in your marriage, in your family, in your walk. Seek me first and I'll show you the way. Now that plays itself out in so many different ways when our focus. Because what do we do sometimes? We're, I got to go here. I got to see you later. You know, we have all these things that we're rushing around. So one of the things, and some of you know this about me very well, is that having a barrier, a shining barrier that protects your relationship. And in the craziness of this arena that we live in, what does that look like? That means I'm a woman of priorities. That means there's some things I just never do. There's some places I never go. But I never leave the house without kissing Jerry Leachman. Mm-hmm. That's a small thing, but it keeps us connected. And even if I'm ticked, because that's our commitment, that's part of our barrier. Like, oh, kissing him, I gotta get out of the house. You know, that means I'm probably gonna say I'm sorry. But do you see?
Yeah.
He just got in from a plane yesterday. I had been gone a week with my grandson, and we just kind of were like this. And there were many things I had left undone that I'm sure he wanted done. There was a lot of things that I wanted. But it's still, what kept us connected? Hey, honey, welcome home. And our deal is you get a sign. If you've been gone overnight, you get a sign. And we both had been gone a lot. So I had the sticker, welcome home, Holly. Love, Jerry. So I put up Jerry's sign. Welcome home, honey bunny. Love, Holly. But it's just little things. It means I'm remembered. And so even this morning, I got up early. It's a rainy day, it's traffic, and nobody knows how to drive when it rains. I don't know what happens, but anyway, nothing's before me. So I go over there and I kiss him, and he gives me a blessing, because nobody leaves our house without a blessing. And if you come to our house, and you have dinner at our house, and it doesn't matter what your background, what your faith, we'll say, can I give you a blessing? No one has ever said no. No one. From east, from west, from north, from south, Republican, Democrat, Independent. No one has ever said, no, don't give me a blessing. They're so powerful. Ladies, think of the things that you can do that protect your friendship. One of the things that when I'm really feeling, gosh, we're just at odds or things are weird, there's some songs that we always dance to. And so I know if he puts on that song or I put on that song, honey, it's our song, we have to dance, you know, and that just kind of breaks the ice. It breaks our monotony. It breaks whatever. But ladies, you're brilliant. You're lovely. You're creative. Think of those things. Focus on the little boy inside that man who had dreams of the woman he was going to marry, dreams of the future he was going to have. Okay, what keeps us on this road, what keeps us on this journey is obedience. And you know this is one of my strongholds, and my mentor, Elizabeth Elliott, it was just something that opened up the world to me, even as a teenager. When I was one, I want to give hope to all you women who have crazy wild daughters. I'm the one who would drink the most and dance on top of the table and just having a blast, like, woohoo, you know. But then there was just something missing. I kept thinking, there's something that's not 100% right here. And, of course, sometimes I wouldn't feel that great the next day. And there were a lot of things that I needed the Lord for. But when I came to know the Lord and surrendered my heart to Jesus at 17, things changed. Dramatically changed. And I got teased a lot. But God had a plan for me. And I wanted, like everyone else, I remember in my prep school, we had to memorize 1 Corinthians 13. You know, if I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, it promised me nothing. And I thought, oh, it's so great. And then you get to the part that says, and love is patient. I went, nah, love is kind. Love is not jealous. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Love is not jealous. How could that? I was always jealous. I saw you talking to her. I saw you talking to her next to the lockers. I mean, whoever my boyfriend was at the time, I was so jealous. And my insecurities just kind of constantly just, whoa. And I just thought, you know, Lord, if that is true, if there's a love like that, I don't want to miss it. If there's a love like that on the planet, a love that is kind and patient and not jealous or haughty or rude, doesn't I want that. So teach your girlfriends, your daughters, your granddaughters to pray for their future husband. Because I thought, he's somewhere out there. And Lord, bring him to me at your good time. And Lord, help me to be the princess that he would see, because I was praying for a prince. And that's what I pray for all my children. The Lord, send them a godly spouse who loves Christ, who loves them. Because we all know you cannot do it on your own strength. You can't love anybody on your own strength and your own energy. And what's so great, when you write down John 14, and I know a lot of you probably know this by heart, but it's such a great reminder. Three times in John 14, we see the Lord saying, obey me. If you love me, you'll obey me. The first time he says this, John 14, 15, if you love me, you will obey what I have commanded. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. He will give you the Holy Spirit to be with you forever. What a dividend! I mean, how about that? Do you want the Holy Spirit? He wants the counselor. I mean, if you obey me. Then you see it again. 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Does anybody want to see Jesus? You obey the Lord and you see him. We prayed for these schools, as many of you still are doing. And I can remember at different days going into St. Albans or going into the cathedral or NCS and just praying, Lord Jesus, come. And seeing him reveal himself in the most unique ways. If you obey me, I will reveal myself. I will show myself to you. Many of you read My Almost for His Highest, and Oswald Chambers reminds us that if you, in your own little strength, are trying to obey the Lord, he will tax the furthest star to help you. I mean, that is so cool. That is good news. Obedience. Okay, well, what has God called us to do as women? He's called us to honor and to obey. Don't you love these verses? Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if they do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct, by the reverence, by the respect, by the lovingness of their own wives. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits and yields to Christ, so also wives should submit and yield in everything to their husbands. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her. Our husbands have a tough job, you know, really and truly, you think about it. And as I've looked and read so many different translations, one of the examples that really struck me from the very beginning, headship. It's headship with equals. And many of you, like myself, have been in the Senate and seen senators debating different things. And it's so interesting because when a senator has the floor, he can at any point in time say, and I yield to the floor, to my comrade from Texas or California or whatever. He's not saying, I'm less than this senator or I'm more than this senator. I'm yielding. I'm giving way to this. Now, do you want to know a secret? Of course you do. Of course you do. Okay, in Matthew 3. Now, this is so interesting. We used to live in California. We've been here 28 years, so it's been a long time since we lived in California. But I can so remember one Christmas, reading the Christmas story, and I was ticked at Jerry, and I was just thinking, well, why does he want to do that? And I had my other great plans. And then I saw it, where the angel, of course, comes to Mary, and so beautiful, and her beautiful prayer. And then the angel comes to Joseph and tells Joseph, don't be afraid, you can take. And then you see what happens. After baby Jesus is born, who does the angel come to? Joseph. The angel comes to Joseph and says, Joseph, take your wife Mary and the child and go to Egypt, for Herod is seeking to destroy the child. So, what is the next verse? So Joseph gets Mary and baby Jesus and goes to Egypt, and they stayed there till Herod died. Now notice Mary didn't say, wait, excuse me, I'm the Virgin Mary. The angel did not come to me. I'm not going. I'm staying here. I'm so sorry. But, you know, got to remember who I am. I mean, hey. No, she didn't. Do you get that, ladies? And what was it, the cost of their lives? Because what did Herod do? He sent armies in to kill all the children 2 years and under. Ladies, I don't care if your husband's a believer or not. God wants you to honor him. It's his plan. Marriage was his idea. And the joy that is found, I mean, y'all who know me, and some of you know me and Jerry well, I mean, we have a great time. And of course, as you know, we do not argue. We have a real fight. When we have a fight. We really just get angry and ticked off and stuff because we're human and we both have those shy personalities that you've noticed. So, but I'm just saying, even then, what does God say? What does God say when you're fighting? What does he say? He says, forgive. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Be kind, tender-hearted one to another. I wouldn't be tender-hearted. Would you forgive me? I was demanding my own way. Would you forgive me? I keep a quote in the front of my Bible. Why should we want to forgive? Simply because you prize intimacy and fellowship with the Father more than you desire to see your enemy punished. Forgive as you've been forgiven. It's a huge thing. I remember one of our first fights, and quite honestly, I don't know if you're like me, but I'm getting married at 19. Of course, we've grown up a lot together, but I really thought, we're both Christians, we'll never fight, because we both love the Lord. Don't you hear that, right? But anyway, so I can just remember us having a fight, and Josh was about 2, and baby Eugenia was baby, like a few months old, and we were having this big fight, and my thought was, well, we can't let the kids see us fight. This will be so terrible. I said, honey, the kids. And he said, Holly, the kids know we're fighting. I mean, it was like he was so brilliant. And it's so funny because so many times since then, I heard Ruth Graham and Billy Graham and others say a similar story. He turned to Josh, our 2-year-old. He said, son, I love your mom, and your mom loves me, but we're just having a fight. It's going to be okay. And I can tell you, you can read this in Ruth Graham's biography, that is her greatest regret, is that they never fought in public for their kids to see. And all of 5 of their children at different times called, because when they had their first fight in their marriage, they thought, I'm getting a divorce, my parents never fought, how did this be? You have to be real. Focus on Christ. Obey his word. But be real. I'm just having a hard day. I just want you to know, son, I love your dad. Your dad loves me, but I'm just having a hard day. But what's the other thing? We take it to the Lord. We take it to him. Because, ladies, God who said, let there be light, and their son, and I mean, he speaks it into being. You take it to him who can heal and restore and revive. He loves to revive dead hearts. Sometimes my heart is cold. And I go, Lord, why would I lie to you? My heart is cold. It's cold to you. It's cold to her. It's cold to him. I mean, I'm just kind of blah. Help me. He loves to do that. He loves to heal. In Ezekiel, we know, he says, and I will take out your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh, that you might obey my commands and enter my land and experience my joy. I mean, we have a God on high who loves to do heart surgery. We were in Colorado and we've been hiking, and I just had one of those weeks that I was really, for no apparent reason, except for probably I was tired too, but nonetheless, it was just like, Lord, I just am so blah. Restore, renew, refresh my love for Jerry. And he deserves somebody who's giving him attention and loving him and caring for him. And I'm just feel so far away. Just forgive me and help me. And so I'm thinking, you know, several days, something will happen. I will be transformed into a really sweet, wonderful, sexy person. And so anyway, he's coming back from jogging, and from our cabin to the mailbox is 1.5 miles. So it's a 3-mile thing to the mailbox and back. So he's coming back, and he's just, you know, I went, oh, there he is, Mr. cheery guy. That's really great, you know. And so, and I had already given it to the Lord, so I just know all in good time. And so he comes up, and he says, honey, listen to this. And he puts an earphone on my ear, and it's just a country song, and they danced. And it just filled me. I mean, really, in that moment, from my head to my toes, I was so in love with Jerry Leachman. In just a second. In just a second, the transformation. And see, I've been in some of your houses, and I know what some of y'all can do. It's like you're just pouting, you're upset, and then the phone rings, you go, hello? Oh, hey, how are you doing? So great. In a moment, you can change your personality and your voice because whoever's on that phone that you want to impress or whatever. But don't you know God on high loves to change us? He loves to do that. He loves to do that. So C is commitment. We want to commit our way to the Lord. We really want him to lead us and direct us in all our paths. And we want to be committed to our marriage in a new way. Commit means to put into another's care for safekeeping. Lord, I put my marriage into your care for safekeeping. I put my children into your care for safekeeping. I put my grandchildren into your care for safekeeping. I commit them to you, Lord. Psalm 22:8, he trusts in the Lord. He who trusts in the Lord, let the Lord rescue him and let the Lord delight in him, because the Lord will deliver those who trust in him. Cast your cares. Commit your cares to the Lord, for he will sustain you. I thought about all the things that many places in Scripture where he says, commit your time to the Lord. Lord, teach us and number our days that we commit to you a heart of wisdom. I thought about the things that we put into Jesus' hands and how he transforms them. You know, that first wedding, and he takes the foot water, the huge containers, and changes foot water into wine. Mm-hmm. He transforms loaves and fishes. He multiplies it to feed 5,000. Oh, Lord, if you can multiply little loaves and fishes that a boy gives to you to feed the 5,000, you can multiply this tiny bit of love I have, that it might overflow to my husband, my children, my neighbors. You are able and I am not. I love it when you think about, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. And what will happen? In Psalm 37, many of you know it well. And he will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. How bright is that? Do you want to be a little bit brighter? Well, then commit your way to the Lord. And he said, I'll make your way as bright as the noonday sun. Of course, we know Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean in your own understanding. Well, I just thought he needed some time out. I just thought we need some time apart. No, what did God say? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I'm going this way, Lord. What do you think? I'm going this way, Lord. What do you think? We're kind of apart, Lord. What do you think? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will direct your path. And, y'all, it can come in the most amazing ways. A couple of years ago, we were having a fight and a disagreement, and I was just, like, so ticked and so surprised because we hadn't had a fight in a long time, and I just thought, we were just really doing good. We kind of reached a plateau or something, you know. But still, we are fallen human beings, and the Lord knows that. And when our pride gets in there, it's just not healthy. It's not going to be a pretty sight. But nonetheless, we had to fight. We both had said unkind things, and I was so embarrassed. I thought, oh, Lord, I would hate for anybody to see that on a video. Now, would anybody like their most recent fight with their husband to be on a video on the news? Anyone? So I just thought, but Lord, you see all things. And so, Lord, I'm just sorry, and just show me what to do. I don't even know what I should do, and I know only your Holy Spirit can convict us of sin. So would you really convict him of sin? And, you know, and I'm like, help me to repent for my little part, but his, you know. And so, but nonetheless, this is true. I was reading my what's for his highest, and for that particular day, the strong message was, listen to the Lord, go to him, and release it. And so, okay, Lord. And I just kind of thought, I'm not going to say another word. And because, you know, we have to kiss before we part, and I had to go run some errands, and I said, I love you. See, a little bit, you know, like, and so I left, and I thought, Lord, what are you wanting to do? And I said, I really am sorry. I could have handled that so much better, but I was just really hurt by the response. And just help me. Help us both, Lord. And so anyway, I went to do my errands, came back in an hour, and I really just didn't even want to come back. You know how when you're at odds, you just think, how many other things can I do, you know, before I have to go back home? And when I pulled up, I thought, I don't even know what it will be like when I go in the house. And I went in, and he was at the door. And just, Holly, I'm so glad you're back. I said, oh, well, I'm so glad to see you. And I said, what happened? He said, you won't believe what happened. He took me and said, look at this. And it's a book on humility. And he was so ticked at me, he had nothing to do, so he picked up this book on humility and started reading it, and the Holy Spirit pierced him. He said, Holly, I'm so sorry. I responded so poorly, and just forgive me. It was just my pride, just my male pride, and you're a treasure to me, and would you forgive me? Now, ladies, if I had written that, now, Lord, this is what I want you to do. Would you do this and then do that? I mean, God's imagination and his ways are not our ways. So we need to commit very intentionally. Focus on the Lord, him first. Obey his word. What you're reading today, obey what he said to you today in your quiet time, in your study. And then commit. Lord, I commit this to you. My marriage is in a hard place, Lord. I commit it to you. Lord, my marriage is in a great place. I praise you, and I continue to commit it to you and give you thanks for it. Okay, what does you look for? You is unity, a condition of oneness, unified, operating together to complete a task. Obviously, we need to guard our oneness. We have to guard our love. We have to guard our friendship. But I thought, what are the things? And in our books, you might remember, there's a lot of terrific insights on the things that can attack your oneness. What attacks our oneness the most, and to me in this arena, is just our schedules. The nonstop telephone calls, the nonstop, I gotta rush here, I gotta rush there. I mean, how easy is it to have a relationship with somebody who says, great to see you, how are you doing? I mean, you can't even hug that person because they're in motion constantly. And I can remember this woman, I got a phone call, this was a little bit awkward. My husband has lots of different studies all over, and with different businessmen, and this particular business person came up to him and said, you know, I'm really in a hard place in my marriage, and I don't get any attention, she never has time for me, they have four little boys, and she was always doing everything for the PTA, everything for the school activities, everything for the soccer team, everything for the lacrosse team, but she just didn't have much time for her husband. And he was in a hard place, and there were many beautiful women in his office, and he's trying to do the right thing. But he has no real attention at home. And you know, if any of us sent our husbands, you know, out in the morning with no breakfast, we wouldn't get upset if they went and got breakfast somewhere else. But you send a man out into this world with no attention, no affection, that's a hard place. You've set him up to be very vulnerable to any temptation that could come his way. So this wife is lovely, she's beautiful, and I just thought, oh Lord, I don't know this couple as well as Jerry does, help me, give me words to say to this woman, and to help her get more fired up about her husband, to take that commitment seriously, to love him, to honor him, to be sexy and fun for him. That's the girl that he married, and she's vanished. So I go to the house, and God in his mercy, because when we seek him first, he said, go. I obeyed that command. I committed that morning to the Lord. Lord, give me words that this family might be unified one more time. That this family might, the two would be one like you want them to be. So I go in and she was just, oh, Holly, what a surprise. And I went, oh, if you only knew. And so, oh, hey, how are you doing? You know, well, you come and have some coffee. I said, oh, I'd love that. And so we're chatting. And quite frankly, she brought up right away. She said, well, I'll just use different names. I'll just call them Sally and Sam. And I said, well, Sally, how's it going? She said, well, I have to tell you, I know that, I mean, I just don't see Sam. I've been so involved with the boys, and I said, I'm sure he's just ticked at me, but I've just been really busy. There's just been a lot going on, and I know it's been, you know, like this for a while, but I'm just, that's just where I am right now. And so I thought, oh my goodness, because she felt justified in her inattentiveness to her husband. I thought, oh Lord, please give me the right words. Show me what to say. You have to turn her heart, because you love to heal marriages. You love to heal relationships. So her son, Scott, of her four little boys, Scott comes running in, cutest thing. And I said, oh, look at him. Sally, see it? Scott has gotten so big, and he's so cute. She said, oh, he's just the love of my life. And I said, well, I can see that. And I said, well, let me just ask you, Sally, how would you like it if Scott married someone like you? Scott, great. How would you like it if your precious son married someone like you? You would say, no, you love him. You get some cute nightgowns on. You make a nice dinner. You should love him. He deserves your love. You just love him. That's what you would say. She said, I would. I said, well, do you think Sam is a happy husband? Does he get the same attention that you hope that your daughter-in-law one day will give your son? God will fight for our marriages, and he'll fight for the marriages of your friends. But often he's going to use you to intercede. He's going to use you to help. The truth is your friend, to bring the truth back to light, so that they might see. We've talked about this a lot in our culture, unfortunately. It is so common, even in godly families, for unmarried young men and women to live together before they get married. And I know in every audience, that's many here, that's many in my family, that's many all down the road. But it's never too late to do what's right, and it's never too late to speak the truth. Some of y'all might remember years ago, there was a group of gals who wanted to lay the entire lacrosse team at St. Albans. And so Tucker said, Mom, this is really just weird and stuff. And I said, I know. And he said, I don't even know what to do. I don't, because it was just kind of on, it was kind of out there. Like they were just going to kind of try to get every guy. And I said, son, and he'd already been approached by some older girls, some senior girls. And I said, son, you just tell them, I'm just being true to somebody I haven't met yet. That's not offensive. You're a pretty girl. You're a great gal. I'm sure people would love to go to bed with you. But you know what? I'm just being true to somebody I haven't met. But ladies, the ramifications that hits our marriages because of this, which has gone on for years. I mean, obviously it's very prevalent right now. So what do you do? If it's you yourself, you just, Lord, I know we didn't start the way that would please you the most. But Lord, we want to finish strong. So help me to love my husband more than ever. Help me to be such an example to my children. Now, this happens all the time, too. Well, Mom, we know you and Dad lived together for years. Why don't you want me and, you know, Bob to move in together? Because you know what? I don't want you to have regret. I just don't want you to have any regrets. As you know, Jerry's a chaplain for the Redskins for many years. We've done tons of counseling. I have never met, doesn't matter if it was a giant football player or a little CEO, I've never met somebody who regretted being a virgin when they got married. But what you have to see, and what I just got to share at a sorority last year in Alabama, God forbids sex before you get married, and God forbids adultery. He forbids you to have sex with somebody else when you're married. Because what happens? Because God never meant you to go to bed with somebody and not be with them the next day and the next day and the next day. And what happens? You know, you don't think we have idols. We have such idols. This godly woman in New York, who I really like, her daughter and future son-in-law are living together, and he asked for her hand and asked if they could get married. They said, no, let her finish law school. Y'all just live together. We'll pay for it. Because what was more important to her? It's following God's word? No. Doing what would look cool to other people. You know, she did finish law school before she got married. Do you think that's going to impress God? Do you think God's happy about that? And do you think that eventually the daughter, regardless of what happens in that relationship, maybe they get married, I certainly hope they do, but what if they don't? Mom, why did you do this? why did you put me in this situation? Just to impress your friends? Or the other thing is, no, you know, it'll just cost less if we just go ahead and share an apartment. No, it'll cost you more. Because it'll damage who you are. Because what happens when blue and pink sleep together before they're married or whatever, a little bit of blue's over there, a little bit of pink, they're fragmented. There's some emotional fragments. And so all over the world, I cannot tell you, I see this, it doesn't matter how high a position a person has. The woundedness of the little girl is right an inch below the surface. The woundedness of the young man is an inch below the surface. So don't you see? These commands that God's given us isn't to keep us from having fun, it's so we'll have more fun. More fun. More fun than you could possibly imagine. And for those who have made mistakes, what is there? There's forgiveness. There's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness and makes us new. I mean, that is amazing that God can do that. And I've seen that. One of my best friends is on her third marriage. And her husband had been married 3 times also. They have a great marriage. They have a great marriage because they buried the past. They literally put it in a box and buried it in the backyard. Because they knew if they were going to go forward with the stepchildren and all the issues that were going on, they needed to go forward in Christ. Ladies, write it down if you have to, but do not let the past poison your future. Do not let the past poison your future. Do not let the past, the guilt, the shame, the foolish decisions, do not let them poison your future, and do not let them poison the future of your children or your grandchildren. And just say, you know what? If I can save you from regret, it's a huge thing. And I don't want you to be in a place where you can't receive God's blessings. It says, if you obey me, I will reveal myself to you. I will give you my Holy Spirit. Okay, you can tell I still have a tan. I mean, I'm definitely olive, which is so great because everybody thinks I'm from their country. I mean, people think I'm Italian. They think I'm Indian. They think I'm Hispanic. I mean, I'm not kidding. My mind, they go, oh, you're from Delhi. I go, no, I'm not. I go, thank you. But anyway, I'm just saying that every single, because of my dark skin, but as a kid, what was the great honor? Getting the best tan, especially at spring break, because that was the big test, you know. You didn't go to the beach spring break, but I did. I mean, you know, that was just a big, cool thing. And so even if it was cold, we would dig these holes in the sand, so that the wind could go this way, but the sun would come, you know. And, of course, now we learn the sun isn't all that great for you. But nonetheless, at that time, it was so good for you. So at any rate, I would put myself in a position to get all the sunshine. And you can always tell when somebody's been in the sun. If you're blonde, you get a little sunburn. If you're olive, you get browner. I mean, you can always tell when somebody's spent the sun. You can always tell when people have spent time with Jesus, when they obeyed his word. You can always. And you don't want people that you love to be in a place outside of a place where they can receive God's blessing. Honey, I love Joe. He's a great guy. And I hope that maybe one day y'all get married, but I don't want you to ever put yourself in a place, in a position where you can't get the full blessing of the Lord, because he loves you. And it's the love of the Lord that gets you through the rocky places in your marriage. I found this article, and it was talking about things I wish I had known before I got married. And one of them was, I wish I had known that my husband could not meet all my needs. That only the Lord God could meet all my needs. And if you read, and you can write this down, if you read July 30th, in My Utmost Worst Highest, one of the most wonderful statements you will find there, it says, if we try to love someone and we don't love God first, we become jealous, possessive, argumentative, because we are demanding from a person of what only God can give. Do you see that? So to be unified, to be one, not only means that I'm praying for Jerry, that I'm focusing on the Lord, I'm obeying his word, I'm committed to my marriage, I'm committed to my family, I'm committed to follow the Lord, I'm committed to put all these things into his hand, but I'm committed to trust God's plan. And I'm looking to the Lord to show me what he wants me to do. And then we get to S. Satisfied. That's where you get to be sexy. What did you say? Tonight's the night. I remember Jerry and I got married in college, and right after college, he had his first coaching. And so his first coaching opportunity, I guess he was 23 and I was 21. And all these cute little cheerleaders and their cute little short skirts go, "Oh, Coach Leachman, we won with you." And, "Oh, Coach Leachman, that was such a good game." And I'm like, "If you touch my eyes one more time, I'm slapping you upside the head." I mean, because I was a teenager when I met Jerry. That was so, my insecurities were so present. I mean, I was just like, "Why?" I mean, and Jerry would go like, "Holly, what is your problem? These are just kids." And I was like, "Because I'm just a kid and you fell in love with me and they're so cute and I just had a baby and my figure's not like their figure anymore." You know, just like all my insecurities just rushed to the front. So what do you do with that? You take it to the Lord. "Oh, Lord, cover me with your likeness. Cover me so that even if Marilyn Monroe walked on the school campus, his head wouldn't turn because he's so full of my love." I found that answer in Proverbs. It says, to a man who is full, even honey is loathing. But to a man who is hungry, even a bitter thing tastes sweet. If a man is hungry, ladies, don't let your man be hungry. Just love him. It's funny, our little signal is hamburger, double cheeseburger, or steak. So that just means time. Anybody can do a hamburger like in a few minutes. You can get a hamburger done in just a few minutes. But if you want a steak, that means you're going to have a fun night. You're just going to have a nice night of it. But I'm just saying, whatever your signals are.
I know you're a little slow, but it's okay.
Whatever your signals are, figure out the best way to love your husband physically, emotionally, spiritually. Cover him with your prayers. The very best thing I do for Jerry is cover him with prayers. It really is. I mean, he would tell you that. He loves me. He's attracted to me. We have a great relationship. But he would clearly say the best thing I do for him is cover him with prayers and walk with Christ. Ladies, we're just bombarded on every side. The Lord reminded us, in this world, you're going to have hard things. Hard things are going to come your way. But be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And we know our enemies are the world and the flesh and the devil. And usually the world's just enough. Often the world just trips us up enough. So what is a godly woman to do? She's to look at things around her. What is this going to cost me? I remember a friend of ours, her husband was doing great. He just sold one business, was in another one. They had lots of resources. And she was looking at these amazing palace houses around Great Falls and McLean. And she said, "You know, this one, that's really, I mean, we could use this." And I said, "Oh, really? How many children do you have?" "Three." But, you know, 7 or 8 bedrooms would be, you know, might be what we need sometime. I mean, it was just like a little bit crazy, but I just thought, Lord, help me to help her see what this house might actually cost her. I said, "I know that the listing price is, you know, 4.2 or whatever." I said, "But you know what this might cost you? It might cost you your marriage. Because when things don't go well in your husband's new business, like they have in the past, he's going to have to work harder, or he's going to be more anxious, or he's going to have an ulcer. The stress of what this might end up costing you, is that really worth it? Or this might cost you future children. Because you think, I have to go to work now. I can't even parent my own kids because to pay for this house, I'm going to have to go back to work. I'm going to have to do this or that or the other." You see what I'm saying? You have to look at everything. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see. Because nothing is what it appears to be all too often. And don't we see that here? We meet somebody at a dinner party and then we read about them in the Washington Post. Or we just look in the mirror. The Lord wants us to trust him. We know that he says, "I am my beloved and my beloved is mine." The Lord says that to us. He wants us to say that about our spouses. that this incredible trust, this incredible union, is what God wants us to see. Oswald Chambers has another great quote. Jesus Christ has no tenderness whatsoever toward anything that is ultimately going to ruin a man or woman in the service of God. So what do we know? What's our the thing that God wants us to see? He wants us to focus on Him. He wants us to focus on our husband, focus on our marriage, obey the words that He has set out in His scriptures, commit our way, surrender it to the Lord, guard our unity, satisfy the people we love, and look for Jesus at every turn. I came across this just this past year, and it's just so touched me. And it's about Mary Magdalene when she goes to the tomb. You know, and she so loved the Lord, her love and passion for the Lord. She had been forgiven so much. She knew how far she had fallen and how great God was for His great forgiveness. And so she comes back to the grave looking for Jesus. And one of the pastors said, you know, maybe she was afraid that since He was in this fancy grave of wealthy men, Nicodemus, and she thought maybe they've taken Him. And so she goes to look. And Mary goes back to the grave, and she has been once and fears that something evil might have happened. But she is not discouraged. She must find the one she loves. She keeps looking and she keeps looking. And then she sees, it tells us in Scripture, she sees the two angels who are sitting, one at the head and the other at the end of the tomb. You know, she wasn't going to be bothered by angels. She was looking for Jesus. She wasn't going to be distracted. She's just like, where is He? Where is Jesus? And apparently, when they look, because the Scripture says, and the angels looked. So they must have seen the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because their heads turned. And when the angels' heads turned, Mary turned. And she sees a figure, and she thinks that maybe it's the gardener. Because she only had one thing on her mind. Just tell me where you put Him. They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put Him. And then she says this amazing thing. Please, if you've taken Him, let me know that I might carry Him. Carry Him? Carry Him? Y'all know how big my tucker is, but I'll tell you, if He had died and I didn't know where He was, or I would carry that body. I would carry it anywhere. And Mary, how could this poor woman carry the weight of a man's body? But I've seen many a woman with love in her heart carry the weight of her whole family. I've seen many a woman carry the weight of a whole office, of a whole school, of a whole neighborhood. Women are amazingly strong when they love strongly. Where have they put my Lord? Tell me that I might carry Him. And then, those words that are so amazing, He says, oh, Mary. And she knows it's the voice that calls her name in that special way. And so she hugs Him. She's so happy to see, oh, Rabboni, oh, teacher, it's you. It's you. And so can't you see this delight? I can't wait to see Mary in heaven. Just this delight. Mary, the very lost woman, the first one to see the risen Lord. And what does He tell her? He says, and she said, and she believed. She said, I must return to my Father. She gets it. He says, go tell my brothers. So she's the first missionary running out from the risen Lord. Mary! Ladies, it's just too much. Mary. Mary, go tell. Master, it's you, and all is well. All is well, because you are here. So, Lord, I pray for all these women. I pray for myself. Lord, may we always welcome You into our relationships, to our marriages, to our homes. Oh, Lord, You came. You came and You still come. You come wherever You are welcome. Lord, forgive us our many sins, past, present, and future. And, Lord, thank You that the blood of Christ is enough. And, Lord, that You redeemed us at such a great price. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for the resurrection. Thank You that You're coming back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.